Hi, this is Tracy Lee Watson, welcoming you to the Laughing Mother Project Podcast Season 2. Here we laugh at the days to come. Hi ladies, welcome to this episode of the Laughing Mother Project Podcast. Today we've got beautiful Tamsin Jackson with us. Hi Tam.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being with us. So, just to kick off, let's kick off straight away with just asking you to share a little bit about how you grew up, what your mum was like, what the family was like that you grew up in. And of course, you're a Kiwi.
Yes.
So you were born here.
Yes.
So, yes, just share with...
Thank you. Yes, I'm a Kiwi. I grew up here, but we lived in Australia for 10 years. Recently and had the children over there. But anyway, that's another chapter. My life was idyllic growing up, absolutely idyllic. I had the most amazing childhood. And my mum is just the most incredible woman. I don't even know where to start. I'm in awe of her. It's a hard legacy to follow.
Really?
It's hard to be a mum after my mum. She's incredible. An amazing, amazing woman. And so she became a Christian after she got married to my dad. He is still not a believer.
Okay.
Which brings a lot of challenges into their marriage, and has for lots of different aspects of my upbringing. But mum had this incredible spiritual encounter with Jesus, with God and the spiritual realm, and that caused her to go to church, and she became a Christian.
Wow.
And so she took my sister and my sister and me when we were little to kids' church, Sunday school, and I just loved it, and I just have such fond memories of learning the Bible verses and all of that sort of stuff. And I am so grateful for that firm foundation she put in me and placed in me at such a young age. So I sort of don't really have a life without Jesus. You know, like I haven't got a big coming to God testimony. I did, become baptized and learn to speak in tongues and all those other kind of milestones in my Christian walk. But mostly I've just always known him in my heart. I've just always known him as my father. And, as my biggest, love. And so I feel so incredibly grateful for that mum had put that foundation in us so young. And I know that her faithfulness has reached so far beyond me and my family and generations. Yeah.
Yes.
She's incredible.
But out of interest, now I just want to ask you, is it so amazing that she had a spiritual encounter? Does she still have that sort of relationship with God that she has? Or do you have
I would say I'm quite a spiritual person. Like I'm quite in touch with that sort of stuff. I do.
Wow.
I have in the past seen spirits and things like that. But nothing recently, but I think it was just a really teachable moment where God wanted to show me something or do something in me. I don't know about mum. I know that she's really into spiritual warfare. Like she knows that it exists and she has such a strong conviction of that. And I think maybe that's why she is so incredibly faithful. Like she is the most faithful woman I have ever known. And what's so amazing about that is that she doesn't have a husband that supports her, and she's never had a home, a church home, because of his disbelief.
Yes.
And we'd always go away to our property on the weekends, and mum would never go to church, and she'd take us with her. And so my sister and I grew up in church in the early days, but my two younger brothers haven't grown up in church because they would always just go away.
Yes.
But so what I so admire about my mum is that her faith is so strong, regardless of those things.
Yes.
You know, because most people get...
Well, sometimes it has to. Because you're not relying on...
Yeah.
I want to say takeout, which is really disrespectful. But you can't treat church as drive-through. Like you go in and pick up your meal to sustain you in the week. You have to find ways yourself to meet with Jesus in your home.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And in your day and just in your being and moving and living.
Yeah.
Which sometimes is actually more powerful.
Oh,
because
your
relationship with Jesus is firsthand. It's not reliant on a pastor or somebody else as much.
I totally think that describes my mum really, really well. Yeah. She just lives and breathes Jesus all day long. But she has given and sacrificed her whole life for us kids. She's the most incredibly selfless woman. She's lived for us and to be the best mum for us, to show us love and to show us how to be loved and how to give love. And her like, to me, she's like an angel on earth, because no one can love as unhumanly. Like, it's, her love is unhumanly. It's amazing. She's like an angel sent just to love us.
She really is. I can't talk more amazingly
about her. And yet she's so humble and so beautiful. And but yeah, we are her life. We are her life, her kids. And she has given everything for us. And for us to love God and to be an example for him.
Wow, yeah. That is so inspiring.
I know, she's amazing. When I think about like a woman in the Bible that's probably like her, I think of Martha, because of Martha's incredible faith. And,
yes.
And, you know, Martha's only really talked about 3 times in the Bible, but that time when she asked Jesus to come and heal her brother,
yes,
Lazarus, and raise him from the dead, and he died, and Jesus didn't come, and she didn't give up. She didn't lose her faith.
Yes.
She just had this, like, you know.
Yes.
This incredible, nothing was unshakable, you know, faith. And she just so believed.
Wow.
And I believe that for my mum, like, she's just like that. She'll hear about someone being sick and she's like, God's going to heal her. Or I'll pray for her. You know, like, she's just she's just a prayer warrior and a faith warrior. And yeah, so I feel like the most blessed daughter.
Yes, how cool is
that? To have
grown
up with a woman role model like that.
Yes. Yeah,
she's amazing.
And so I'm sure that's had an impact on you. Tell us about your family now. Tell us about your
One more thing about that. I was just going to say one more thing about that is mum has always had this little saying, this little, like, I guess you kind of have your little, you know, things you say. And she has always said to us kids, be gentle and loving at all times. And that's just been like our family mantra. And I find myself saying it to my kids all the time. And it's kind of almost become a joke now. It's like Nanny Sue's little thing.
Yes.
But in saying that, my sister, who's 2 years older than me, she's amazing. And then I have 2 younger brothers, 8 years apart. So another 8 years and then another 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so I have a 26-year-old brother. But if you, like, people that know all of us are just like, that is us. We are gentle and we are loving. It's spoken it into our lives. Exactly. So the power of words, along with prayer and example, has just transformed our family. Like, we are like gentle and loving people.
It's
all we know. It's all I know to be.
Yes.
And she has spoken that into our lives.
That is very precious.
Yeah, yeah, no.
And it's actually very powerful. It's amazing how powerful gentleness is.
Yeah,
hey.
Yeah. Yeah, she's very wise, my mama. Okay, so my family, I am married to the most incredible man, Duncan.
Yes.
He is just my rock. Oh my gosh, he is my natural rock. God's my spiritual rock, but he is my natural rock. We met when I was 14.
14!
Yes! And I fell in love and I knew he was the one, but we didn't start going
out. How old is Josiah now?
I know, tell me about it. He will be 13 this year. What the heck?
Damon wasn't 13. No,
14. He's 3 years older than me. 3 years older than me. And so I kind of grew up a little bit, you know, 14, 15, 16. And we started going out when I was 16.
Ah,
and we've been together ever since.
At school? Did you meet at school?
Yep. No. We came from very different walks of life. We met through my sister's boyfriend. So they were best friends. And so
Are they still good friends?
My sister's not married, didn't marry him. But so they broke up. They broke up and we started going out. I know. So crazy.
Oh, it's going to be like, that's so cool.
I know. So my parents' wish was that we wouldn't get married till I finished university, and which I think is very wise. So I finished all my uni, moved out of home, got married, started a new job, all within a couple of months. It was
and
a
you
crazy
came and
time of life.
Shared to the class about the fact that you did a little trip to India well.
Yeah. That was actually the year before we got engaged. So, yeah, I just wanted to go and know that I could be independent, stand on my own 2 feet, do something for the Lord. And, incredible. Most
served
amazing
in India,
time of my life.
Loved that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Loved it. It was tough, but I knew that I could still be me and I was still an independent woman, even though I knew I was about to marry this incredible man. But, yeah.
Okay. So you and the incredible man,
so
Damon.
He's amazing. He adores me. Like, it's a bit sickening. People are like, can you just not? he just, he he just is so beautiful and so loving, and I feel so loved by him. And I just think that is such a privilege that not a lot of women have. But he lets me know every day that I am just his world and everything to him. I'm so blessed. Yeah, he's amazing. But we are very different. He is the life of the party. He is very much an extrovert. I'm very much an introvert.
You are not.
I am.
Are you?
Oh, I so am. When I'm with people, I become an extrovert.
Yes.
But I would not choose. I would not
really?
Choose.
You get recharged being by yourself.
I absolutely just love. So, I mean, he would have people over for breakfast, lunch and dinner. I'm like, maybe just once in the weekend, babe. Just once. Can we entertain just once? But he's like, oh, no, let's have everyone round. And, you know, he just loves being, the life of the party. And he's very funny. He's very entrepreneurial. He's passionate about breaking cycles. He's grown up in a totally different world to the man that he is. And he's become that man because he decided he didn't want to be what he grew up. You know, he wanted to break that poverty cycle and break that cycle of, being a single mum, you know, not having a dad. And it's forced him to be an incredible father, an incredible dad who has provided for us in every way that we could ever dream of. Yeah. So he's amazing. Really, really amazing. Such an incredible dad.
What a blessing.
Yeah. He knows our kids so well. And he's so good with them. He just knows what they need and in a really, really wise way. And he just, especially with Joey, they have a really incredible bond. And it's just so precious to see.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. It's really meant so much to him and caused him to become the young man that he is. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've got Joey, Josiah, who is, 12, nearly 13. Can't believe it. He was hard to conceive. He was, he was an incredible blessing. We were living in Aussie. Took a couple of years for us to get pregnant. Went, when we didn't, finally got all the tests done. And they told us IVF was our only hope.
Really?
And I thought I'd laid it before the cross. I thought I'd given it to God. I thought that I'd done all the praying and the crying that I could do. But it took me hearing those words to completely surrender, I think. And we got pregnant the next month.
Oh my.
And that was the little beginning of our little man.
Wow.
Yeah, and then with Sophia, I was still, I know. And then when I was still breastfeeding Joey when I got pregnant with Fia, and just when he wasn't even trying. So we were just,
Grace babies.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Just consider them our such absolute blessings. Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah. And it was all in God's timing. You know, when you look back on your life and you're like, okay, God did know what he was doing.
And they're beautiful. I love your children.
They are. Thanks, Tracy. They are delicious.
They are beautiful.
Yeah, they are. So Joey is, he's an incredible smooch. Absolute. He just loves a cuddle. He's super quirky.
Yes.
Super quirky. So funny. We'll laugh at anything. Laughs all day long. Just loves a laugh.
I know. He's got that sense of humor that you feel he walks into the room and you like, okay, the fun has arrived.
Yeah.
But he's got that look like, I don't know, like you don't know what to expect is going to happen. I always say to him, he's the man of the school because he's got these big shoes.
Oh, my God.
He's got these.
They call him his clonking boots.
But they're not big shoes. I'm just saying that, like, I think 2 years ago he still looked really small and now he looks like a young man.
Yeah.
So I keep on saying to him, Josiah, of all the people, you feel like this, like you've gone from boy to man all of a sudden. And I think it's to do with the shoes, which of course it's not, but I've just said to him, he's quite proud of how big he's got
nice
shoes.
And dad is tall, so he's going to be big. He's going to be a big boy too. He lives and breathes the gift, the love language of acts of service. He lives for a job, that kid. He honestly, he wakes up Saturday morning. He's got
Would have loved teacher Tony.
He's got his to-do list and he's like, right, Dad, what are we doing first? And they just start working through the dust, through the jobs.
Wow.
And stuff just gets done in my house. And he just loves it. And it's the same wherever he goes. He just lives to serve.
That
and it's just
so
a beautiful,
cool.
beautiful gift that God's given him. He's got an incredible memory. He loves facts. He loves anything with a process. Like, he loves cooking because it's got a process.
Yes, of course.
He loves making Legos. He's made this incredible technic thing. Hours and hours of concentration, but it's just mind-blowing. So anyone that is a teacher or has a child on ASD will probably realise that I'm talking about an Asperger's child. So yeah, we had Joey officially diagnosed when he was 9. But when he was about 4, I think being a primary school teacher, I could pick it straight away. And we knew that he was different and that quirkiness was more than just quirkiness. But we didn't treat him any differently. And we were just like, this is our man. This is our gift from God. He is the way God has designed him to be. And he's perfect. And we were living in Australia at the time. When we came home, it was sort of about when he turned 8 that we started to really see some of the gaps, not just in his learning, but in his social and his emotional capacity. And so we decided to get him, properly tested and go down all the psychological lines and pathways or whatever. And and that was pretty full on, getting that actual diagnosis and realizing, you know, there's a label out there now, you know. But I actually saw the psychologist the week before we took Joe because I wanted to know for myself, am I doing the right thing?
Yes.
Do I want to label him? What are the benefits of that? Do I want him to, do we want to make this a thing? You know, at the moment we're just going on with
which is
life.
Actually really wise that you've thought like that.
Yeah.
What did you come to? Like, what did you
No, decide? She was amazing. And she said, do you know what? He knows he's different already. And this is going to help him to be able to explain to people what it is that's going on inside him and why he is the way he is. And it really has. And now he just knows, he says to people, I just think differently. I just think differently. I'm not weird. I just think differently. And I just love that.
Listen.
It's like he's proud.
Yes.
It's like he's proud to be different. And I just think.
But why shouldn't he?
Go, little man. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
We should always be proud of who we are. I love it, actually.
Totally. And it caused us to make the second best decision I've ever made in my life. So the first best decision was marrying Damo. And then second best decision was coming here to this school.
Really?
As soon as we got that diagnosis, I just knew he wasn't in the best place for him, for his own learning and his own growth. And there's just this still small voice in my heart just would not go away. It just wouldn't go away. It just kept telling me, this is not the right place. You need to do something else. We need to find something else for Joey. And so I looked at lots of different schools and came here. City Impact Church School.
Oh, Shana, that is so cool.
And I just fell in love. And you know what? He is a different kid. Like, I'm not joking. People that knew him before cannot believe he's the same child. Oh, it's going to make me cry. He is. He has this peace inside of him and this joyfulness inside of him I never thought would be possible. Like, I honestly didn't ever think that I would see that side of him, because the best way to describe life before was like we were just walking on eggshells all the time, waiting for him to crack. And he would have these freakouts about who knows what, this, that and everything, several times a week.
Wow.
And he couldn't cope at school. He would just wear headphones all day. He would do nothing. He'd go for walks. He just couldn't cope in any shape or form. It was too overwhelming for him. And we came here. He sits. He learns. He absorbs. He knows that he goes to God before anything else. He turns to the Holy Spirit when he's feeling anxious, when he's feeling worried, instead of going for a walk or taking it out on someone else. Wow. He is literally a different child.
Wow.
Just because of,
I wondered actually, like, you know, you always think that children on the spectrum sometimes socially, I feel like he's got a way with people. He's got a way to just walk straight into your heart.
Oh gosh.
He does.
He is a very lovable, beautiful little man. And he gets on really well with adults. He can talk to adults.
Yes.
To you're blue in the face, because he has got so much to tell you. Don't you worry about that. But he has learned because of the beautiful boys here in this school. Oh my gosh. Oh, I'm going to cry again. Because he never had friends before. No one understood him. No one got why he would suddenly laugh at something ridiculous or make noises or say something silly and inappropriate. No one would understand him. They just labelled him as weird. But the boys here, oh, bless them, have just embraced him. And they've just said, we love you because you're like that.
Yes.
You're awesome because you're different and you're fun and you're crazy. And it has just Oh, as a mother, isn't that all you want?
Yes.
For your kids to be happy and yes. to be loved and accepted.
Yes.
And the children in this school have done that, and the teachers and the parents, everyone. And I think that has also helped in shaping him to be this really happy.
Yes.
This peaceful, joyful little man.
Yes.
That I never thought was possible. Okay, sorry.
How good is that?
I'm going to talk all about that.
The Lord wanted us to talk about that. The Lord wanted us to talk about that.
Yeah, he is.
And it's so cool to hear. I mean, I think City Impact Church should do a little bit of something, you know, on that story, because it's really cool, actually.
Oh,
it is really cool.
It speaks volumes, and it has spoken so much to our family, but also to people that knew us before and know him now and know us now. Even me, I'm a different person, because I just, emotionally, I was absolutely exhausted from trying to enthuse him about school every day, to get through every day.
Yes.
Just to be was hard work. And now it's a joy. It's a joy to send him to school and to see all the incredible milestones he's hitting. Yeah, it's amazing.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay,
so
I'm going to go on to Dottie. So Sophia, again, she's just was another little blessing, a surprise, but a blessing, like, just couldn't believe it. She is our incredible creative little spirit. She, as you know, is amazing with words. She loves to write, and she has this incredible imagination. I often say to her, I wish I could see the world through your eyes, because we just go somewhere and she'll just be like, that's as marvellous as a waterfall that I saw trickling down there last week. And I'm like, she just sees beauty in everything. And her mind just thinks in this incredibly imaginative way. Yeah, it's really inspiring. So she's just super creative. She's compassionate and incredibly thoughtful. When she thinks about something for somebody, she thinks about it and she thinks about it until she's got it right. You know, she's really, really thoughtful. She's got daddy's quick wit and humour. Her like love language is quality time.
She just
loves time with me.
A bit of cutie.
Time, yeah, absolutely. She's just always like, can we just have a whole day to give them up? We just have a whole day. No boys, no interruptions, just a whole day. And
being a teacher's kid, she probably also has to share you. Although I suppose she doesn't really see that.
Not so much. Yeah. But yeah, so she's just divine.
And she's highly perceptive as well. I mean, she's young for her year at school.
Yeah, she is the youngest, yeah.
Yes. And I know when she was in my class, like, I think she clicks onto things a lot quicker than what other people see things.
Yeah, she's quite mature.
Yes. And I think that's also probably due to being creative. She's probably can pick up things, not just, what we just see, but beyond what she just sees.
Yeah.
And also it's amazing that she's also really good at maths. Like, normally creatives...
yeah.
The maths is not she's also really methodical.
She is. It's good. Maths only comes since being here too.
Really?
She used to hate maths.
Never.
At her old school.
She's a top maths student.
I know. And now she loves it. But it used to be her least favourite subject. And Joe has the strengths on the methodical side. And Sophia was always the linguist, And now, she's risen within both strengths. It's just wonderful. Yeah.
Yes.
And she loves it. So who knows, hey?
Wonderful.
She is a super sensitive soul.
Yes,
and
very
that
sensitive.
Is what we are really working on with her.
Yes.
Building her resilience. Working through that. And that's a work in progress. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm trying to teach her that sensitivity is not... it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not
no,
a negative
it's a
thing.
Wonderful
it's an
thing to be
strength,
sensitive.
But all she sees is, I just cry all the time and, I can't do anything, I'm just crying. Yeah, so we're working through that. But, yeah, she's only 10, I have to remind myself that.
Yes.
She's only 10 and she feels like she's got the weight of the world on her shoulders already.
Yes.
A poor popper.
And they have, they're young, they've been through a move.
Well, to Australia twice, Joey has. He was born in Australia and then came home and we had Sophia here because I had preeclampsia with both my pregnancies and I was really sick. And so I needed to come home for the support with Sophia. And then when she was 5 months, we went back to Aussie. And so she's still spent more of her life in Australia than she has here. And so they
and it's quite different.
Um, I don't know. I suppose to me it seems similar.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I taught in their system as well. I was teaching here. It's got some differences, but oh, no, I don't know. I think they're quite similar people to us, really.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, so, yeah, like you say, lots of moves, and they've also had to walk through quite a big sickness with me. Yeah.
Well, yes, let's talk about that. Because, yes, you are a victory walking.
I'm a walking,
healing,
healed miracle.
Miracle, yes.
It's funny because initially I never thought of it like that. I never thought that I was healed. I never thought that I am this miracle because God didn't take it away.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? I'd always thought, you've got, I don't know, whatever, and then you pray for it and it's gone. You know, you can't see, you can see, now you're healed. And so it's taken a long time for me to realize that God still healed me. I'm still living, breathing miracle because I'm alive here and I'm telling my testimony to people and I'm sharing this joy. But it's taken me a while to realize that it doesn't have to be an instant thing.
Yes.
God still had the plan knowing that I would be healed, but just wasn't going to happen in my timing or when I wanted it to be. But he has actually healed
me.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
We're going to talk about it a bit more, but okay. I wanted to just say that I remember that when Sophia was in my class, they had to talk about somebody that they really admired, and she wrote about you, and I was so amazed by what she wrote. It was like, wow, that was so cool. She couldn't have been very old when...
No, so she was 4 when I was diagnosed, and then she just started going to school when I had all my treatment. Yeah.
Yes.
So we were still living in Aussie, and I was part of this amazing group called MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers.
Yes.
So I was involved in that, and as one of the meetings one morning, we had a woman come in and talk to us about breast cancer and how to feel for lumps, and I found a lump.
Oh my gosh.
And I went to the doctor and had a scan done, and it was just before Christmas, and we were coming home for Christmas. See, all our family would always come home for a month or so. And they said, given your age, you're still really young. I was 34 at that time. I'm not a smoker, I'm not a drinker, I'm not overweight. It's no genetic history. They said, 95% chance it's just a benign lump. Let's review it in 6 months' time. So I thought nothing of it. Went and had the most amazing summer. Went back, settled back into my life, my incredible life, I'll just add. I loved my life in Australia. I had these two gorgeous preschool kids. I was going to Jimbaroo one day, you know, library the next day, you know, all those fun things. And I had the most amazing group of women around me in this lovely church. And I loved my life. Then Damo came home a couple of months later and said, babe, it's time for us to go home. And I just burst into tears. I said, you're what? I love my life.
This is home.
We're just, you know, Joe's about to start school and it's all like. And he said, no, it's time to go home. And I sort of fought him on it for a little while. And then went, no, I'm going to obey my husband. I said in my vows I would. It's what God asked me to do. And little did I know that God had a plan. And a month later, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I needed to be around my family. I needed to be here. So I went and saw my doctor and got some more tests done. And in that 6 months, it had grown 3 centimetres. It was God's timing for me to come home, for it to be found, for me to be around my family. And
like, we can't just rush past that God actually has been watching you all the days of your life.
Yeah.
And like, it, you know, we sometimes say things like with scriptures that like, you know, in Psalm 139, that God made the delicate inner parts of us and that he's laid all out all the days before him.
Yeah.
But like, he actually does know the days, and he knows the times.
He
knows what we need.
I know, isn't that just so refreshing? But so like,
it's like scary in weird ways as well.
Yeah,
it's like
definitely. But how reassuring
in
is
his
that?
Power, what he could have made. Because this is what sometimes people also think, that in God's power, in what he could have possibly prevented something happening, but I've heard, and I like this way of thinking of things, is that yes, God can prevent things happening,
yes,
But sometimes there's something that happens and he uses that to work that thing out and through and for you.
Absolutely.
So it becomes the gold mine, actually.
Absolutely.
And so the diagnosis is just, it's not the real issue.
Yeah.
It's the issue that actually brings out the issue that he actually brings you into.
Absolutely.
Did you find that?
I absolutely find that. I've got a little thing that I wrote down about that afterwards. So that's so brilliant. And I think the biggest thing that's probably come out of this whole experience for me is just that I don't now go to God and ask him to take things away from my life. I don't say, heal me, make this better, but I go to him and I ask him to increase my faith and I ask him to give me strength instead. Because I don't expect him to take anything away anymore. I think when you're facing death, that is, and you're at that point where you're going, God, I really need you right now. And he didn't take it away, that he pushed me beyond my capability. And my relationship with him is the strongest it's ever been, you know. And my faith has been increased, but also my strength. So I don't ask him to take away trials anymore. And I don't... if he wants to, that's awesome, because he's God, and he will. But for me, it's been the most refreshing way at looking at life. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
And there's a couple of verses sort of around that, like 1 Peter 1, 6-7 says, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith, though your faith is far more precious than gold."
Yeah.
And Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand."
Wow.
And I think those have just been like written on my heart now. And I just feel like, bring it on. What have you got for me next?
No.
Well, I'm kind of like, how could it get any worse? Here I am told, you've got breast cancer. It's growing in your body and it could have taken over.
Yes.
When you get told that, you sort of start to look at life a little differently and you start to turn to God in a different capacity.
Yes.
So I had a mastectomy.
Yes.
And they took my latimus dorsi muscle and brought that through to shape my breast. And then I had 6 rounds of chemotherapy every 3 weeks. And then I had 5 weeks of radiotherapy. And that was every day, going into the hospital for radiation. So sort of all out, it's like a year of my life I feel like I lost.
Yes.
In a way. A year I'll never get back. That were amazing years for my kids. It was the first year of school for Sophia. I feel like it's also a real blessing that they were young.
Yes.
And I feel like if they were going through it now, it'd be tougher.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel, and someone said that to me and I thought, I think that's true. I really feel like, if I think about when I was 4 and 6, I don't have a lot of memories.
Yes.
You know, but I don't want the memories for them to have is, mum was sick, you know. Yeah.
Well, from that speech, the memories are, my mum's brave.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. I hope so. And I think that's what they see. It has made us an incredibly close family. We are very, very tight, and to the point where it is quite suffocating sometimes. You're like, you need to go to school, girl. That has been a real blessing to us. We are so,
yes,
so tight and really, really close now. But it was amazing seeing the differences and the different ways they coped with it. So Sophia would just speak her mind. She would just tell me how she's feeling no matter what. You know, she would just wear her half on her sleeve. So both of them shaved my head the week before I had my first treatment, because they say that it can be quite distressing when it falls out in clumps. And so, so they rode me up, got the shavers, and they shaved my head. And Sophia just couldn't handle it. She was just, "Mom, my mom, I've lost my mom. Come back, my mom." You know, because when you're 4, what you look like is so much, you know, of what they see. And so that really was heartbreaking. And I was like, "Babe, it's still me. It's still me." But that was really hard for her. And all through the whole thing, she just told me how it was. I hate this. I don't want you to be sick. I just want my old mum back, you know. So that was, it was refreshing, but it was hard. Whereas Joey locked it all up, bottled it all up. And then we'd just be sitting playing Lego one day and he'd just look at me and go, are you going to die, mum?
Oh, God.
You know, like he just didn't know how to cope with the daily maybe. And then it would just all bottle up and then, he let it out. So it was quite interesting seeing the way they both dealt with it.
Yes.
But I got another scripture here that was actually prophesied over me when I was going through my treatment and everything. And it says Isaiah 43:1-3. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame will not consume you. And that was so special because I just could see it. Like, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you're given that diagnosis and you're told, you know, by professionals what's going on in your body, it's not, he's going to be with me. I'm with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When I sat there and I had poison pumping through my veins, you know, I just knew that God was there and it wasn't going to overwhelm me. And I'd walk through the fire and I just wouldn't be burned. And here I am. I've walked through the fire.
Yes.
And I'm out the other side and I'm maybe a little burnt. But,
you're toasty. No,
I'm a little cramped up in parts. No. I'll never look the same. But I'm here and God protected me through it all.
I just love, nobody can really see how soft you are and those beautiful tears that keep like making your eyes all shiny. But you know what? I just keep on thinking, like even when we prayed before, it's like sitting with you, and I don't even know if anybody listening will experience that, you just feel the closeness of God. I really think you carry the closeness of God into a room, and I think you've really got a gift of nurturing. So it's amazing that you had like the breasts are the place of comfort, right?
Yes.
But I don't think that was taken away without you being given tenfold before or after of the gift of nurturing and
it's
comfort. I think
you.
That you're an amazing comforter, you know? And you know, the fact that you've got like such a lovely, soft, kind, compassionate heart, you know, is so precious.
Yeah. Lovely.
Lovely. Like it's like I just feel like we're sitting here in a marshmallow, like Jesus is right here with us.
But you know what? He is, and he has been with me through the whole thing. And I think it's only like hindsight, isn't it wonderful, that I look back and I can see it so much more. But I don't know if you know anybody who's been through anything like this, but after every chemo treatment, I would then be given some steroids, and they would keep me up quite a lot at night. So I'd often doze during the day, and then I'd be wide awake at night. And you know, where at night, everything just becomes so much worse, doesn't it? You know, your thoughts just go from here to there, and I would just think the worst. And of course, I didn't want to wake up my husband every night, like let him have a sleep one night, and not have his crazy emotional wife. You know, but Jesus was there with me. Oh, shoot. And
it's funny you say that because I do remember somebody telling me that they felt the same thing, and they looked to the side of the bed and there was an indent in the bed, and she actually believes Jesus was physically sitting there and allowed her to see as if someone was sitting right next to her.
Well, for me, it was Jesus at the end of my bed, and he had his hand on my feet, and I had just this warmth on my ankles. And I just knew that he was there. And you know, he never audibly spoke anything. I never had this vision or, you know, it wasn't anything too dramatic, but it was just this overwhelming sense of comfort. And it wasn't, I just remember like thinking as if he was saying it to me, you know, you're doing great.
Wow.
You're doing awesome. And, you know, and I wanted to hear him say, it's, you know, I'm going to take it away.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to go and have your treatment tomorrow. You know,
yes.
I wanted that, but he didn't say that. He just said, I love you and I'm proud of you and you've got this. And, and it was, oh gosh, I'm sorry.
Please.
Oh dear. But yeah, so he was. He really was with me through everything. Through it all, I remember
and he still is. Yeah. That's the cool thing, that like sometimes you think he was just with you when you really needed him then.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying, even with just feeling you talking now. Yeah. Like, I don't think he's ever, like, left you, even in the good times when things are going well. And when, you know, he's just as much saying, like, you're doing well.
I know, aren't we lucky? I don't know how people do life without God.
You know?
How do people do it, Tracy?
I don't know.
I don't know. I know. And you know what? This whole process has been such an evangelical thing for me.
Really?
Like, even in the environment where I work, in the school that I work, which is why I love working in a non-Christian school, because I just feel like I'm such a light there.
Yes.
I just am that beacon on that hill. And you know, and I just love that people get to know me for who I am, and then they might find out that I've had this journey, and I've walked through this journey, and they're just like, girl, you are awesome.
Yes.
And they're just like, I thought you were awesome before.
Yes.
And now they're like, how did you do that? And I'm like, well, I've got a Heavenly Father who loves me. And even though he didn't take it away,
beautiful.
And even though he doesn't want me to go through pain and suffering, he still was there, and he still loves me, and he still walked through it with me.
And you know what I love about that is because sometimes you think you want it taken away, but Jesus shows you greater is he that is within you.
Nice.
So he makes, like, he actually, like, you are more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer.
Yeah, yeah.
He actually took you over that mountain, moved the mountain.
Yeah, yeah. That's so funny you say that, because every morning before my chemo treatment, I would moved in with mum and dad for 6 months while I had my treatment. And so mum took the kids off to school, and then I would just walk around, like, pacing with my prayer walking. and I would sing that song, Overcomer. I'm an overcomer. And also, You Make Me Brave.
Yo, I don't think I can get goosebumps
anymore.
Yes.
Those two songs, I just had them on repeat, and I would just, you know, belt them out. And I'd just pray, and I think it was, that sense of just inviting God's spirit through worship and prayer carried me through.
Yes.
Even the toughest of times.
Now, what if somebody's listening and they were in the middle of that right now?
Yeah.
What would you say to them? I know Jesus is speaking to them, and we're not expecting you to know everything. But if there was something that maybe you would have liked to have heard when you were going through that.
I was lucky enough to have an incredible support network around me. So I had friends that I could call who I knew would just be there if I needed them, and they would pray for me. So I had my prayer warriors, but in the spiritual, but I also had amazing friends. I had a friend who set up a meals thing for me, and two out of every 3 weeks we had meals delivered. We had a fridge outside, and it was just chocker. It was such a blessing. So that was like a natural thing, and singing the natural, but in the spiritual, having people to pray with me that I just knew were carrying me through. And I had a page on Facebook, was praying for Tam, and I could put up having a really bad day today, or I've got my treatment tomorrow, so I didn't have to send a billion texts back to people. You know, it was all there, and I didn't felt like I had all these texts I had to reply to. So just some, like,
really practical
things, which were an incredible blessing to us. And having things to look forward to was really, really special. I know it sounds really simple, but just knowing I was going to have a massage in the third week when I felt good, or going to get my nails, I actually couldn't get my nails done, they were gone. But just little things to look forward to. Yeah. I don't know.
That's actually really cool. Yes. Because it puts your eyes on the next thing. I'm thinking that it's kind of like if you're running and you know, just get to that part.
Yes. Absolutely. But there are amazing networks out there too, like the Cancer Society and the Breast Cancer Nurses. Man, they're just amazing. They are there like 24/7. You can just call them and go, I've started vomiting. What do I do? Or my temperature's rocketed. What should I do? Like, just having that gave me such peace as well. Just knowing that there was always someone in a medical perspective that could tell me what's happening in my body right now, and do I need to do something more? Yes. Which was amazing because I did get sick after my fifth treatment. I had to spend a week in hospital because, you know, your blood count is so low and I had just had nothing. So I got really sick and I had to spend a week in there. And at that point, I was ready to give up. I said to my oncologist, I'm done. I am done. Oh. I don't want my sixth treatment. I can't do it. I can't do it. And I'm so glad she did make me do it.
Yes.
Because now I know I've given my body the worst of everything that it could have to the most that it could have taken, you know. But at that time, I was so done. Yeah. Yes. I don't want to put poison in my body anymore. I'm over
yes.
it.
Yes. So how do you look after yourself now after that? Like, what do you do? Like,
The things, because I'm an introvert,
whatever.
I know, that surprises. Do you know, it surprises everyone I say that to. But seriously, I would rather go home and snuggle up with a book than go to a party.
I've got a husband who's the opposite. He is such an introvert. But if you tell him he's an introvert, he's like, what?
I love people.
And he is a coach and does love being with people, but would never be the one to organize the party.
Right.
He's like happy to say, let's just be our family.
Yeah.
Let's just do things together.
That's me.
And then I'm like, you're an introvert. No, but you know when we have people, I'm the last to leave.
I think we can turn it on. We can turn it on when we need to. And I think that's a blessing because I wouldn't want to be a complete introvert where I just was so insular.
Yes.
So for me, some of the ways that I look after me is, my happy place is watering my garden. So every night I go out for about 15, 20 minutes. And sometimes the kids are out with me and they'll bounce on the tramp and whatever. And I pick up our bunny and I cuddle our bunny. And I walk around and water my garden. And usually the chooks are out racing around with me as well. And that is just my happy place. I just love being in nature and I just love watering my garden.
Wow.
It sounds crazy, but for me it fills my bucket so much. I really love it. I also love doing puzzles, to the point where the kids are like, Mum, are you going to feed us today? Because I'm like, just this piece and then this piece. And they're like, we hate it when you do puzzles. They hate it when I do. I'm like, I'm getting my new puzzle out. They're like, oh, great. Here goes Mum for a couple of weeks. But I love a puzzle. I really love a puzzle. I think that might be the creative side of me.
Yes.
I love going for walks, listening to your amazing podcast, and just worshipping. And I also treat myself to a massage once a month.
Oh.
And that whole thing of having something to look forward to, already when I leave, I'm like already looking forward to the next one. Because I've booked it in. It's in the diary, you know. But I just, just little things like that. I'm not a high maintenance type person. You know, I always tell my husband, you don't know how lucky you've got it, mate.
Yes.
I am so low maintenance. So I don't need a lot to make me happy. Yeah.
No, but I love what you've said there because I actually think, sometimes we think that looking after ourselves is to me, sometimes it feels more like work. I am so I definitely, Doug says to me, did you drink water today? No. I'm not. And you know, you feel guilty as a mother because you think you should be making sure that you're eating healthily.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of not so good at planning, to do all those healthy things. Kind of feel like everything in moderation.
Yeah, which is true. That's how we get through
life,
right?
But I love what you've said because actually that does, you know, if you find building a puzzle, it does feed you. And as long as you I love that you're saying as long as you're looking forward to something because I think that, funny enough, and I bring up that eating because Doug and I went on this eating keto type of thing. But it wasn't that, it was something else. Anyway, I just said to Doug, I hate it because I can't have the things that I look forward to eating all the time.
Yeah.
And I realized the psychological side of eating and the comfort that eating has.
Definitely.
And I'm not saying go out there and be unhealthy, but I'm just saying that actually sometimes we need to feed our spirits and what brings us joy.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
If watering the garden, you know,
I've
started recently just going for a coffee walk, but I used to feel guilty thinking I should be going for a run. And then I thought, I love a run.
Yeah.
Not far, 3 or 4 Ks.
That's more than I can do.
No, but there's nothing bad with having an exercise. But I started thinking that comes with like a whole like
pressure.
Yes.
Pressure, right?
What is the time?
Yeah.
How far have you
I
gone?
Done
have you
kilos?
Done this?
Yeah.
So sometimes I just feel like taking the coffee and walking down my street and noticing something about a tree or a cloud or, you know, just that. Yes.
Just being with nature and actually connecting and going, what? God made this and he made that and he made that and how beautiful is that and intricate is that? How detailed is that? Like, I just love listening to the birds sing sometimes. You
yes.
know, the waves crash on the water and it just blows my mind that he invented that.
Yes, and you feel safe
because
you actually feel that someone's keeping the whole world going, you know, and he's never stopped being in control.
Yeah, he's amazing, amazing. So I was just going to talk a little about how my healing experiences influenced my mothering.
Please.
Yeah? Is that
please.
Okay? So there's probably been a couple of big things and then a couple of small things. But I think the biggest thing has just been, like you said before about Sophia noticing how brave I am or whatever, is just walking out my faith every day. I think that has probably the biggest way it's influenced me. Because I literally have to break fear off my life every day. I feel like I have to walk out God's love and his faithfulness for me and break off the fear off my life. That is the thing since my sickness that has had a grip on my life. And we were talking before about the spiritual thing. You know, I feel like it's a real spiritual thing. Like I've got something, you know, holding me. And I guess when you go through something like cancer, I have every belief that God's taken it from me, but there's still a little part of me that is fearful. What was my future going to hold? If he can take it away in an instant, or it can be taken away in an instant, then what's to say what tomorrow is going to bring? You know, so I feel like every day I have to walk out that fear, and I have to really walk every step in faith with God. And I have a playlist every morning once I've dropped the kids off to school, whether I'm going to work or not, and it's just got these 5 songs, and they are just about fear, about casting out fear. They're just worship songs. They're just like, what's that amazing song? What is it? When I stand in your love, fear won't overwhelm me.
I am so glad you said that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have these songs. Not Today. I love Not Today. I just belt that one out. Not Today, Devil. You haven't got me today. there's so many. Anyway, and I have to do that.
This
and I've got
so
some verses
good.
As well. And I just have to speak to it. I am healed. I am God's. I am mine. And, I mean, I am his. And he's got me. And I'm just not going to let that have me today. And so I think, in my mothering, I want the kids to see that. I want that to be an example to them. And I want them to know that they can live the same way.
Yes.
So that's probably been the biggest shift in my parenting, is just realizing how much of an example I am to them in that way. We do a lot of talking now about hope and about the future, about God's amazing plans for us.
Yes.
You know, which I think in just a normal family, as you're trucking on with life, maybe you just don't, you know, you're so busy with the now and the here that you maybe don't think about that so much. But
yes.
It's a really big focus in our family. You know, we talk about, we have lots of goals and what we want to achieve in the future. And maybe probably more for Sophia than anything, because I know she's still really gets really scared when I'm sick. So if I just have a headache or a tummy bug or something, she just flips out and she just thinks, this is it again. So for me, those two things have been really important.
Yes.
If that makes sense. I also don't sweat the small stuff anymore. So I'm doing a puzzle. The floor hasn't been vacuumed. Someone knocks on the door. Who cares? Do you know what I mean? My house is not clean. I'd much rather, you know, sit and read a book with Sophia or go for a walk with Joe, watch them bounce on the tramp, then clean my house. Because, I don't know, for me that would have stressed me out before. I don't want someone to come into my home and my house is a mess.
You know, and it's our blinking mothers that put that on us.
I know.
Look,
but
I love my
what?
Mother. And I'm a mother, but I'm training my own children. I'm like, what if somebody has to walk in now?
I know.
Tidy up.
But hey, does it really matter, Tracy? Does it really matter?
Let me tell
That's
you,
what
you
I'm
are
saying.
Speaking to me here, girlfriend. And my house is not all perfect.
No.
But I do get to a point, and I think my family aren't sure when I get to the point, because I like us living. I like the house to get lived in. But
Absolutely.
Then it can get to that point where I'm like, sort it out.
Because
I don't, you know, I don't want to live in a museum.
No.
I want somewhere in between. And yeah. I don't, you know, like yeah. you just want it comfy and homely.
Definitely. And that's what I mean. That's what yes. I mean. I don't want to have this picture perfect home all the time.
Yes.
Usually on a Saturday, we'll do like an hour of power.
Yes.
And we'll all just sort our stuff.
But an hour of power.
We'll yes. just sort our stuff out from the week. Make sure the school bags are where they're supposed to be for the weekend. I don't know. Whatever it is. And then I can relax into my weekend. But I would just much rather spend time with the kids or have a wine with Dave yes. by the fire or whatever
yes.
than be worrying about that stuff. So yeah, I really don't sweat the small stuff so much. I don't care so much about what people think of me anymore.
Does Praise that, the Lord.
Yeah, I mean everybody does to a certain extent, but I've really learnt that about myself, that actually I am who I am, and you yes. don't know what I've just been through. You don't know the journey yes. I'm on. Just like with anybody, we don't know what they're going through.
It's and like so, Brené Brown, who says,
"Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't take criticism from someone who's not daring greatly."
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah, actually. Totally. We just don't know what's going on in other people's yes. lives, right? And so, yeah. So I don't sweat the small stuff. Quality time. It's definitely biggie in our house as well. So I take Joe on dates. I take Dottie on dates. Diamond takes the kids up beach on individual dates as well. We have a lot of family times. Diamond's taking the kids fishing in the morning. A balance, you know, it's all balanced. Yes. But for them, that's really, really important. And that helps them just to know that they're loved
yes.
and that we can get through anything.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's cool. And then probably the other biggest one is living life to the fullest.
Yes.
Just make every day matter. Make it count for something. And smile.
Yes.
For me, just, I've always been a smiler.
Yes.
People have always.
I don't know you, but like ever since yeah. I've known you, I've never seen you without having this yeah. massive, beautiful, big smile on your face.
I just love that. It's contagious, right?
Yes.
Smiling is contagious. And even through my sickness, I'd be sitting there having this, I don't know, poison pump through my veins, but a smile would just come over me. And I just think, if I can influence that person sitting over there in their chair having their treatment and they're just thinking life is over, but they see someone else having a smile, well, it
yes.
puts a smile on their face.
Yes.
And I just love that it releases endorphins. Just the thought of you smiling and the action of doing those muscles actually triggers happy chemicals in your brain.
Exactly.
And so you start to switch out of that negative space. Don't you like when you see someone walking down the street and they're smiling, you're just like... Oh,
yes.
I wonder what's making you so happy. Exactly. And then you think, why am I so happy?
Yes.
I love this quote by Mother Teresa. Can I read
it? Yes.
That? Okay. Let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Be the living expression of God's kindness. Kindness in your face, kindness in your eyes, kindness in your smile.
Oh,
isn't that beautiful?
That is so beautiful.
She's so awesome. And there's this other song I love. Have you heard of this song by the Sidewalk Prophets?
No.
We sing it most days on the way to school. This is the chorus.
Okay.
There's always a reason to always choose joy. There's something deeper that the world can't destroy. Smile when you think you can't. Smile, get up and dance. Smile, there's a bigger plan. The storm only lasts for a while. Smile.
Oh my.
Yeah, so we sing that on the way to school every morning, and we sing this other one at the moment because I've got to try and, you know, motivate my sensitive one. You got this? You know that song? You got this. Anyway, I won't start singing it. But and we just get into that one, and I just tell them, you got this. You got this, guys. You know, because they're like, I want to get on the car. And I'm like, yeah, you got this. And you're getting out of this car. Let's just keep singing it till you get it. But yeah, so I love that smile. There's one more thing here by Maya Angelou.
Yes,
you know, so she
I
says,
love her.
People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget the way you make them feel.
Yes.
And I've always had that in me, you know? Just,
yes.
And even if it is just a smile and a how are you?
Yes.
That's
you're an atmosphere changer, girl. Okay, I was feeling the closeness of Jesus. Now I'm feeling the love and laughter of Jesus.
Oh, God.
Hey,
good.
Just the full spectrum.
Yeah.
You're on the spectrum.
I am. I'm embracing that spectrum. In any shape.
You're on the rainbow. I'm sorry.
You know, one of my colleagues said that to me. No, she goes, can you just stop sprinkling your rainbows around everywhere?
Which actually
so
is
gorgeous.
Cool.
I know. It touched my heart. And it's a yes. silent little yes.
And of course the rainbow's promise, hey. So yeah. Like actually even somebody who might not even, I don't know if they do know the Lord or not.
No,
but like
she doesn't.
Actually that's prophetic.
Yeah.
So like I like to take things like that. So if you do have fears, like hang on, I'm the person who hands promises out, which is future. So you know.
So good, eh?
Yes.
So good. So I hope that's
yes, that is today. Powerful. Oh, that is so good.
Thank you
so much for sharing.
Oh,
I just like don't want it to end, which is the cool thing, because I do think that you've got so many things. Like there's so many chapters to still look forward to.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So many things that you're still going to, you know, experience and do.
Yeah.
And you're such a blessing. And I'm just so grateful that God spared you.
Yeah.
And
I know I was the lucky one. I was the lucky one. I've got so many friends that have not made the journey. And I often say that, God, why am I? What, you must have a big purpose in store for me, because why me? Why did you let me?
Oh my gosh, I loved doing that interview. And it was really one of those special interviews that I would have loved for it to have been on camera, because to see Tam's face, her face, she's able to cry and laugh at the same time and just be fully human and vulnerable and real and raw. And you just feel like she's this beautiful fountain of wisdom and of love and of joy, and you just feel strong. You know, I was thinking after her chat about the fact that she really thought that a miracle would be if God just took away what she was going through. And maybe some of you out there listening are in the middle of a struggle. There's always maybe a mountain that we're facing. And sometimes you think that the miracle has happened if God flattens that mountain. And he does. There's times that he flattens the mountains. But this morning, an old song came to mind. One of the songs that maybe your parents or grandparents listened to, by Joe Cocker, which sings about love lifts us up where we belong, on the mountains high where the eagles fly. And I'm sure you can remember that song. If you can't, go and Google it and listen to it, because it's old, but there's some good words in it. And it reminded me of the scripture in Ephesians 2 verse 6, which says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And eagles speak of perspective. Sometimes we want the mountains moved, and the Bible does say that if we have faith as small as a mustard seed, we can speak to a mountain and it will move. But there are times when it's time to go up onto the mountain of transfiguration, to go up and be lifted up and be reminded that we're seated with Jesus in heavenly places, and that we get new perspective from Jesus by getting lifted up and over the mountain. And we get transfigured when that happens. We come back and we changed, and our face doesn't look the same. And Tamsin's face does not look the same. She shines, she glows with the love of Jesus. Had that mountain just been moved from her, she would have spoken and sang and been just as excited about the glory of God. But something has changed in her, because she's been lifted up over the mountain. And so I just pray that you're blessed by that. And I pray that whatever mountain you're facing, that you would quieten yourself and picture yourself, love who is a person, who is Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth, lifting you up onto his lap where the clear winds blow, and ask him to change your perspective, and that when you come back out into the everyday world, you will be equipped and glowing with the glory that Jesus has in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God bless you. Until next time.